Physical health is good, but if you don't have the right things being put in your body, then you're going to run into issues. The foods that we eat are toxic. If you go in the supermarket today, 90% of those foods did not exist 70 years ago. The healthiest version of you is the highest version of you. All medications do is manipulate your biochemistry. But when you change your lifestyle, you're correcting your biochemistry. But if we want to live and be balanced mentally, spiritually, emotionally, like we got to get back to nature.
It has to work where it has to work.
Welcome to Circle of Greatness. I'm your host, Nehemiah Davis, and I got a special episode, man. I'm bringing on world-renowned health educator, doctor, entrepreneur, probably responsible for so many people going to a plant-based diet. And, man, I'm happy to say in the last year I haven't ate meat, fish, or seafood, and this guy's one of the reasons. But on this episode, he's probably about to help me get all the way off dairy and cheese. But without further ado, my God, Dr. Bobby Price. What's up, bro?
Glad to be here, bro. I appreciate you having me.
Thank you for coming on, man. I really wanted to do this show. I want to just ask questions about health. People are curious. I'm curious. I'm trying to get deeper in this. Yeah. Just kind of hear more about your journey or how you got to this point.
Yeah.
It's funny how we met, man. We were playing basketball. Yep. I didn't know you were. I just knew this dude was like an ox, like just bullying people. I'm like, this dude's strong. And we like going at it, right? Yep. And like months later, saw you at her conference. Ashley said she invited you there, and you ended up getting up in my mastermind. What made you do that?
Man, I think with everything, whether it's entrepreneurism or sports or whatever it may be,
yeah,
you always get to that point of your own greatness where you then need somebody to kind of take you to the next level. Mm. And how I look at things, I always look at things from a holistic perspective.
Yeah.
And me, I'm very mild, chill, yeah, laid back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And as you have told me on like many occasions, like I really don't care about money like that.
Yeah.
The big thing for me is always impact.
100%.
And so for me, I needed to find balance in that because there's also things that I want to achieve.
100%.
And we'll talk a little bit about that later in terms of like the healing center and things of that nature.
Yeah. But
I realized that as I'm at the conference, in my mind, I'm understanding that you're a good balance for me.
Yeah.
In terms of like raising my enthusiasm about what I do.
Yeah.
Going a little bit more digital.
Yeah.
And getting systems in place.
Yeah.
And so because you kind of had those things in play already, I said, all right, let's see how it goes. And
safe to say it went good.
We're pretty damn good.
And I'm happy. I always talk about one play, and I'm sure you took a bunch, but one of them was just more visibility for you.
Yeah.
You went on like a crazy podcast run. And a lot of them, like I just heard Donnie say, it was my most viewed episodes.
Yeah.
It was like, and to be honest, I thought you would think health is boring and that's the stigma they put around. It's not exciting, but like really understanding this thing is game changer for you, but it's really helping a lot of people.
Man. Yeah, but because health is boring.
Yeah.
I mean, diabetes ain't sexy.
Right, facts.
You know, so having those conversations is never sexy, and especially in our community because, you know, the first thing we do in our community when we get sick is we say we're not sick.
Mm.
Like, you hear somebody cough or, you know, something like that, they're like, nah, you sick? Nah, I'm not sick.
Yeah.
Or, like, we've all had a grandparent, an uncle, an aunt who was literally, you know, approaching their deathbed and said nothing and then just all of a sudden pass away. So especially in our community, it's not a sexy conversation.
Yeah.
But what I try to help people understand is that the healthiest version of you is the highest version of you.
Yeah.
And it's probably your dis-ease is probably why you're not getting the things that you want in life.
Mm.
It's probably why you're not experiencing yourself in the divine nature that you're supposed to be in. It's probably why you're not feeling elevated. And so what I try to do is help people understand that when you get to your healthiest form of you, then you're going to be able to experience all that abundance that has been promised to you through God. And so I think that's what causes people to shift a little bit. And I just simply explained through my own personal journey how it shifted my life and then it inspires others.
How long have you been vegan now?
Almost 13 years.
13 years. Were you a doctor when you were vegan?
In the hospital.
How long you been a doctor?
Since 2014.
Okay. Yeah. What made you say, I'm going to be a doctor? Like, what was the thing that, were you always on this health journey? What made you say, I'm going to be a doctor?
Growing up, I grew up in the hood. Like, there was not a lot of examples.
What hood? Like, what? Georgia?
Georgia, okay, yeah. So, it. Like, Georgia. Primarily Georgia.
Okay.
But I have family other places, and we've lived other places as well, too, but primarily in Georgia. And growing up, there wasn't a lot of examples. And the only example I did have was my uncle, who was a congressman. And so, in my mind, I'm like, I don't want to be a congressman. So I was left to whatever examples I had in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
But the person that I loved the most was my grandmother. Like, she was just like a god on earth to me. And the way she demonstrated life and poured into other people, it made me want to be more like her. And so she got colorectal cancer. And on her deathbed, I didn't even know she was sick.
Wow.
And then I get a call from my cousin that's, you need to come home. I was at a basketball camp. And she's saying that she's real sick. And I'm like, okay, so how sick? And
what age were you then?
I was like, maybe.
Hey, stop what you're doing. I know you're watching this episode. I want you to go to 7figurevirtualeventebook.com. I'm gonna say it again, 7figurevirtualeventebook.com. I had the privilege this year to help multiple people do 6 and 7 figure days leveraging virtual events. And I put together a 7-step process that's gonna walk you through a step by step by step. And once you're done with that book, if you're like, Neo, I wanna learn this a lot more in a deeper sense, I want you to go to mastermindwithneo.com. This is one pillar of my mastermind, right? We got 5 different pillars that we teach. This is just one pillar, how to dominate virtual events, right? So if you're interested, go to mastermindwithneo.com and book a call with my team to see if you are a good fit to join our mastermind. Let's go.
He's 14 or 15.
Good, okay.
And so she was like really sick and she asked you to come. So I'm like, drop everything, leave the camp, run home. And I get there. And when I get there, I'm realizing that this, it looks like it's it. Like, people are surrounding the bed.
Yep.
And then as I walk in, they make a space out for me. And my grandmother can't talk. She's just staring up into the ceiling. And so now I'm realizing I'm about to lose my grandmother. And I remember when I was 8, I said a prayer. I said, God, please do not let my grandmother die before I do. You know, and now I'm facing this. And as I'm there, I'm like, pleading with her, do not die. Like, I promise you all these things I'm going to do for you, et cetera. And then I realized it was just a moment of clarity where it was like, you being selfish, because she's literally gasping for air, trying to hold on.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I just said, you know, I love you, grandmother. You don't have, you can go. And 2 minutes later, she passed away.
Wow.
And in that moment, I said to myself, like, I mean, it was agony at first, but then, you know, when you go through anything in life, there's going to be moments where there's a very brief moment of clarity. And that very brief moment for me was, I wish I could have done something about this. And, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do at that point. But when I was in school, I was the kid that never bought books home, but I was always smart in science. And I always had this affinity for both chemistry and biology. And that affinity for it just led me into health. And I was like, that's how I could have helped my grandmother. And so that's what inspired me to do what I do.
Wow. You gave me another story. Was it an uncle that also inspired you? I feel like we were on a show. Did you mention your uncle?
Was that uncle? Yeah. So like
was
I said,
that
I,
the
I,
second person that inspired you?
Yeah. My uncle, who was a congressman and also huge in the civil rights. I would see him come home for like family reunions, and because he was so well known, like when you would see him, it would be like, it's like almost an aura around him, because it's like, damn, this guy walked with Dr. Martin Luther King, like, and how people respond to him. And so as I would see him, I would always say to myself, like, I'm cut from that, like the same blood that's in him is like coursing through me, but I don't want to be that, but I want to do something that impacts like him.
What age was you thinking this at?
I was thinking this around 10.
Wow.
Yeah, around 10.
I wasn't thinking nothing like that at 10.
Well,
dude, I was going to be in the NBA or something, like most kid, probably young kids dream.
Well, I think what happened with me is I went through so much trauma between 10 and 12. Between those ages, I lost three of my friends. I watched another friend kill a friend with a bat. I lost my
best.
Yeah. Wow. I watched, you know, my cousin get killed being chased by the police. Mm. I had another friend commit a double homicide and go to prison. He's still in prison today.
Yeah.
And, you know, growing up.
You did that at 10 or 12?
No, I always hung out with older
people. Yeah.
Yeah. Always older.
He got life.
He got life. So he life, triple life. Damn. And so, you know, experiencing that, that's a lot of loss and a lot of fear too.
Yeah.
That turns into aggression. And because of that, I just was trying to figure out, like, how do I not end up like this?
Yeah.
And so, like, my thought pattern was different because of the experiences. And so as I'm dealing with watching my uncle and thinking to myself, like, I want to be his impact on the world. And then later on in life, I'm here in Atlanta at Georgia State, and I'm going to the bookstore to, like, do some studying. And I open the door, and it's an elderly man coming out, and it's my uncle. Mm. And at first, he didn't even recognize me. And I was like, how you doing? And he was like, how you doing, young man? He was like, and I was like, good to see you again. He was like, again? I was like, I'm Bobby. I'm Bobby Price's son. And he was like, you're my nephew. And I was like, yeah. And so in that moment, he kind of tucked me under his wing. Whenever he would go places, he would take me with him. And I would get to meet people and just see how he responds to people. And from there, it just said that I wanted to be able to impact people like this where it changes their lives. And he was the second source of inspiration for me.
I be telling people, bro, it's like, all you got to do is see it one time. I be trying to get people to get to the spot quicker. Like, put your kid on the air, buy him a passport, let him see another country.
Yeah.
There's more than West Philly. There's more than whatever part of Georgia you were in. Yeah. Like, you got to, the quicker you can see it, the quicker you could believe it.
Yeah.
Like, my mom sent me that school, it's all Caucasian people, it's only 50 black people.
Yep.
I'm like, wait, they driving to school? They had mansions? I didn't know what no mansion was.
Right.
Pool houses. I used to leave out my man crib, John, and go through the woods. We at Beth House. She got a theater.
Yeah.
A theater in the house? I'm like, what's this?
Yeah.
But that never left my brain.
Yeah,
I knew it was going to be me someday. I didn't know when, but I just knew it was. So.
Yeah.
So you were telling me the story about you were in this hospital. You were reversing diabetes. What else were you doing? Like, you were like, you was doing all these heroic things, but I don't think you were getting any credit for. What are some of the things you were doing in that hospital?
Like,
you
talked about. The first heroic thing was I reversed my hypertension. I got diagnosed with hypertension at age 16.
What's hypertension?
High blood pressure.
Okay.
And it was really high.
Okay.
Sometimes it was stroke level, like 200 over 190. And so I had lived with that since 16. So here I am in the hospital.
How did you get it? How do people get it?
Man, to be honest with you, like, looking back retrospectively, it was a combination of a lot of things. But the biggest thing was diet. Okay. You know how we eat.
Yeah.
And then the secondary thing was trauma. And most people don't understand how emotional trauma plays a role on our physical health.
Mm.
And so, again, I lost all of my grandparents by the time I'm like 15 years old.
Yeah.
I lost all of those friends. I had a crew of like eight. It dwindled down to like one or two.
Wow.
And
all the murderer or homicide.
Or going to jail.
Yeah.
And so that's trauma. And it didn't make me a tough person. Mm-hmm. It made me initially an aggressive person. Mm-hmm. So that aggression was spilling out. And it was about to ruin my life. And so that's what created that type of tension. That's why they call it hypertension. Mm-hmm. Because it's increased tension in the body.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why I got mine. And so as I'm here in the hospital, and I'm like, again, like, my whole premise was my grandmother. I got to heal people. And what I'm noticing, and I work for the FDA too. And so what I noticed was it wasn't healing people. It was just putting a Band-Aid on it. It was just addressing the symptoms.
What FDA stand for?
Food and Drug Administration. So they're responsible for approving all the lab-grown meat, the genetically modified, the GMO salmon.
Yeah.
Like, they're responsible for that, but they're also responsible for drugs as well, too. Mm. And so while I'm working there, and I'm able to see, because I'm working at Grady, which is an indigent hospital, underserved hospital, and I'm working at other hospitals. And what I'm noticing is that we're the sickest, and we ain't getting any better. And most of the people who are having a heart attack, who are having a stroke, they're on medications when they have these heart attacks and strokes. Mm. And so I'm taking that in consideration because I got hypertension. I got high blood pressure. So even though, like, I'm taking this diuretic, I could still have a heart attack or stroke. So that was the realization that said, I probably need to do something about me before I can help anybody else. Wow. And I'm realizing that even though the medications are lowering the blood pressure, it's not necessarily helping with the eventual outcome.
It's just a Band-Aid.
It's a Band-Aid.
All medicine is a Band-Aid.
It's a Band-Aid because it's addressing the symptoms and not the cause. Mm. So if you're not addressing why you have hypertension, all you're doing is manipulating the biochemistry to make the blood pressure to appear low.
Let me ask you this question. So I get headaches often. Generally, the premise of my headaches is I wait too long to eat. That's a big one for me. Like, it's like, just say I wake up at 6 work and just decide to eat at 3 p.m. Just forget.
Yeah.
My head just start hurting. I just shut down. That's one. And the other is generally because I'm dehydrated. I don't drink enough water. So it might mean I played ball the day before, or just say I played ball at night, had a game, but I didn't drink no water after it. So I go to sleep. I don't know, but I assume your body's working overnight. Like, it's doing something. It's pulling, and I'm like, I didn't drink this. So I wake up with a headache.
Yeah.
So I then take Excedrin, drink water, and go to sleep. Or eat, and that normally heals it. But am I addressing the symptom? Like, I think the cure is just drink more water, though.
Well, yeah. So what you're addressing is the symptoms.
Yeah.
Because you're not deficient in Excedrin.
Yeah.
Okay. What you're deficient in is water, which is, we're made of 60 to 70% water. So when you're dehydrated, you're in a state of emergency.
Ooh.
It's not a small thing. And most people don't understand this, is when you're working out and you're playing ball, you in an even increased state of emergency because you've been sweating. You've been getting rid of water during that time as well, too.
Yeah.
So you're supposed to have a minimum of 2 to 3 liters a day.
2 to 3 liters.
Of water.
How many liters in the guy? 2 to 3 liters?
So 32 ounces, 33 ounces in a liter.
Okay.
Okay. 8 ounces in a glass.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. You're supposed to have at least 2 to 3 just for function, main function.
100 of them, 100 liters, basically.
Yeah, for most people.
Yeah.
Now, think about it. When you're sleeping, your body is regenerating, healing, and detoxifying.
Yeah.
Okay? Because when you wake up, you got to do what?
Go to the bathroom.
Go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Okay? If you go to the bathroom, you got to pee. Is that water?
Yes.
Okay. If you got to have a bowel movement, part of that is water too. Actually, a stool is like 70% water. Mm. So if you don't have water to form the toxins that need to get out of the body, uric acid, urine, or to get rid of the waste in your gut, that means it's going to sit there. That's why it's making you sick. That's why you get the headache.
Mm.
Because now you're becoming concentrated with toxicity in the form of uric acid or urine, whatever you want to call it, and the waste that's in your gut and all the other things that need to be removed too. So that's why I'm trying to explain these natural processes are in play because it's part of how we maintain our body, but it's also part of how we heal our body. But what we do is put the Band-Aid on it with Excedrin to turn the symptom off. It's like a light switch.
Yeah. Get me back, though. I ain't going to lie to you.
Give me
a couple hours with that nap. I'm like, I'm back.
But it's like a car.
Yeah.
Like when the check engine light come on or the light, it's time to do an oil change. I can go under there and take the battery cable off and it'll reset the system.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden I ain't got to worry about the light no more, but it doesn't mean that you don't need an oil change.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So like, that's the important thing. And that's what I realized in the hospital was, okay, I'm taking this diuretic, but I'm not addressing the symptoms. That's what everybody's doing. That's why they're still having a heart attack or a stroke.
Mm.
So let me figure out what the cause is. And that's why I ended up going through everything and nothing worked. And the only thing that worked was me shifting my lifestyle, my diet. And that's what worked. Cause I worked out 3 or 4 times a week. So it wasn't that.
Yeah.
And I see people who look amazing physically, cosmetically, but they die.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So physical health is good, but if you don't have the right things being put in your body to actually perform the actions that are supposed to take place on a daily basis, then you're going to run into issues. And so that's when I changed myself. And then everybody noticed I lost like 45, 50 pounds in the space of 3 months. And I'm looking younger and my attitude is different. And, you know, because I'm one of the few black doctors in the hospital, usually what happens is people will go to their doctor, they'll see me and it's like, hey, my doctor said this, like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
And so because I started to build that rapport with people started coming to me, asking me like, well, what the hell did you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like 50 pounds, you changed overnight.
Yeah.
Overnight. And so I just literally started taking out my prescription pad, like, yo, I did this. So I went completely plant-based, whole foods, no vegan junk food, real food. I did my herbs, I did the detox. I started exercising differently. I did this, just writing down everything that I did. And people started coming back like, hey, my doctor took me off my medication.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm off my insulin now.
I want to ask you, bro, and from your opinion, so I want to know, because I heard you say, I heard people say reversing hypertension, diabetes, how do you do that? And they told me it's two forms of diabetes, right? They told me it's, I heard Dame Dad say it's one you can get rid of and one you can't.
Okay.
Is that like a.
All right. So as I was saying before, like how medications work. And let me first say this about medications. If we walk outside here and I step off the curb and get hit by a bus, take me to the emergency
room. 100%.
Okay, so like, not stupid.
Yeah.
Modern medicine has its place, but its place is really emergency medicine, acute medicine.
Yeah.
That's the best form of modern medicine. That's the best use of it. Because if you look at the third leading cause of death, is actually medical error. It's modern medicine. That's the third leading cause of death.
When you say modern medicine, what's the example? Just so
going to the doctor, going to the hospital,
that's and modern having medicine. Them diagnose me with something that I may don't have or give me something that I may don't need.
I won't even say you need it or don't need it. I mean, medications, surgeries.
Any of those things.
Any of those things, modern medicine.
Okay. Because,
you know,
having the baby and you die while having the baby.
Yeah. Okay. Modern medicine. Because up until 100 years ago, modern medicine didn't exist. People primarily use herbs for hundreds of thousands of years. We can go back to the Paleolithic age and we'll see humans using herbs to heal themselves. So modern medicine is a very new invention.
Yeah.
And so that's what I mean by that. But I think what I'm trying to convey is that whenever you use medications, all medications do is manipulate your biochemistry. They switch up your biochemistry. Okay, to make the blood pressure lower, to make your blood sugar go down, to get rid of your cholesterol, which you don't really get rid of. That's all it's doing. It's manipulating. But when you change your lifestyle, you're correcting your biochemistry. So there's an imbalance. That's what leads to dis-ease in the body. And so what changing your lifestyle does is correct the biochemistry. And there's a difference between the two, because when you correct the biochemistry, you don't have to take something every month.
Let me ask you this, y'all. Dis-ease and disease, is that the same word?
It's the same thing, but the reason why I'm phonetically sounding it out is because dis means to remove from, apart from, and then ease, peace in the body.
Mm.
So dis-ease is the removal of peace in the body, the removal of balance in the body. So the idea is to create more homeostasis or balance back in the body. Mm-hmm. So when your blood pressure is off, it's because there's an imbalance. Okay, when you get pain, you get a headache, there's an imbalance. So if you truly want to address the issue, you have to address the cause, and you address the cause through creating more balance back in the body. Mm. And so can things be reversed? The best way to say that is, can you correct your biochemistry? Can you restore balance back in the body?
Yeah.
Because if you can restore balance back in the body, then you can correct the issue.
Yeah.
That's the real thing. And so as Dame Dash was speaking to, you got type 1 and type 2 diabetes.
There we go. Okay. Tell me the difference between the two.
Type 1 used to be called juvenile diabetes.
Okay.
Because up until the 90s, you never saw adults with type 1. It was something that children got around the age of 2 or 3, or you got as a
teenager. Early as 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you got it very young in life, and then you had the you had this issue for the rest of your life. And typically what will happen is, with those particular people, is that the pancreas loses its function.
What's the pancreas?
The pancreas is what releases insulin.
Okay.
Insulin is what takes the sugar in your blood and puts it inside of the muscle to lower the blood sugar. Okay? So you got type 1. That's type 1. Up until the 90s, it was called juvenile diabetes. And then you had type 2, which was called adult onset diabetes. You got that later on in life, okay? Really, as a result of all the poor behaviors, and then you had a problem with balancing your blood sugar. And so what he's saying is you can't reverse the type 1, which now adults have. Adults never had that before, okay? Up before the 90s. But here's the case. I've seen it done. And the reason why it can be done
is— meaning the one that they say is irreversible.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Okay.
And the reason what happens is those people who are able to correct it are the people who went from type 2, which is adult, they got it in their adult life, they convert it into type 1. What that means is the pancreas was losing its function, type 2, and then it lost its function, type 1. Okay? But if the pancreas still has function, and you can remove enough toxicity, and if you can change the diet and you can correct deficiencies, and you can start working out to build more muscle to be more efficient at taking the sugar in the blood back into the muscle, you can convert type 1 back into type 2. Most people just don't understand the principles around how you go about doing that.
Okay. That was a little deep for me, but I'm going to try to digest. I'm going to have to watch that part again. So, or what about hypertension?
Same thing. Same. I mean, I'm the living example of that. My blood
pressure. Am I eating something different? Am I like not like what am I doing? Like, yo, I want to get rid of hypertension, bro.
Whenever I say change a lifestyle, it most certainly includes changing completely how we eat.
Yeah.
The foods that we eat are toxic. None of the foods, if you go in the supermarket today, you can even go into Whole Foods. 90% of those foods did not exist 70 years ago.
When I seven or 70?
70.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a grandparent. They didn't experience those foods 70 years ago. I'm talking about just going simply back to the 1950s and 60s. 90% of the foods that you will pull off the shelf did not exist. There was no organic section in your grandmother's grocery store.
So because organic section, some of that organic section cap.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is everything was organic then.
Right.
Okay, so agriculture changed. Started spraying everything. Genetically modified fruits and vegetables and even meat now didn't exist. That's a new concept. Late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah. So it's important to know and understand like the foundations of health we've gotten so far from us. So the diet is almost a cesspool of toxicity when you're consuming it. And when you look in our communities, especially the underserved communities, you go in the grocery store, you look at the produce, it's leaning and all wilted, if they got it.
Yeah.
And most of our people who are really struggling, they're buying most of their food from Family Dollars.
Yeah.
Dollar General, places like that. This is old, expired, ultra-processed foods. Oh. And so what I mean, that's why I'm saying, like, you got to change your whole lifestyle.
Yeah. We literally Leon got the bread.
Well, and what I always tell people is this, because I come from that.
Yeah.
What I can say is, even when we didn't have the money, my grandmother had a relationship with a farmer. She would go directly to get her produce for her, which was affordable.
Yeah.
Okay. Back then, we didn't have $1,000 cell phones. Okay. We make room for that. So a lot of the conveniences we're making space for in our economics is making it impossible for us actually to put that bread into our health. And you got to understand, especially for black and brown people, we're at the bottom of the totem pole in every facet of health.
Yeah.
And you look in our communities, it's a food desert.
Yeah.
And so we got to get to a point where we stop patroning these type of business. I'll tell people, you always vote with your dollars. So when you're buying hot Takis or going to Chick-fil-A or wherever it may be, you're voting with your dollars. You're telling them, this is where you can do this.
Yeah.
But if you go into a nice neighborhood, you're not going to see those same kind of restaurants. They wouldn't be able to exist because those people are not voting with those dollars. for those type of restaurants. So that's the form of boycott that we got to have in our communities, where we say, look, unless you're putting this type of produce in here, we're not buying your stuff. Mm. And as a business owner, I have to respond to that because this is about business.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. Like, I understand that there's a lot of people struggling out there. Even as a college student, I struggle. But you got to be making decisions, like, in every facet of your life, where you say, instead of having the iPhone 15, I'm going to stick with this iPhone 5 until I get my health together. And I always tell people, when you get your health together, it seems like everything in terms of abundance starts coming your way.
Yeah.
You know, you can see the person that you love in your life. You couldn't see them before. You know what I'm saying? You can see these opportunities that never existed before. You can see them clearly now.
Yeah.
You know, you get these divine downloads that you never got before. So I tell my people, this is why getting healthy is so important. And we have to shift our monies away from all these things that are killing us, that are not contributing to our overall expansion and growth, toward the things that actually will.
Bro, right. That's why I be drinking healthy, like these nakeds, like strawberry, banana. So I'm just joking, but I got a question. So
okay,
I drink these.
Okay.
Strawberry, banana. The marketing says it's healthy. No sugar added. Strawberry and banana. But why is this not healthy for me?
Yo, I've had the privilege to help hundreds and hundreds of people all around the world open up their own profitable event spaces utilizing my signature formula. Number one, how to find a space. Number two, how to fund the space and how to automate the space. I've been in Atlanta, Georgia now living for 2 years. My spaces are still in Philadelphia operating, doing extremely well because we use the same exact formula that I break down, right? If you're interested in learning how we can help you, I want you to go to eventspacesecrets.com, watch a training or book a call with our team to see if you are a good fit. Again, this is for you specifically if you're looking for other ways to leverage your money and turn that into other streams of income, right? I don't believe there's a better time than right now for you to get tapped into the information in the game that can help you. So again, go to eventspacesecrets.com, watch the training or book a call with our team to see if you're a good fit for this opportunity. Let's go.
Let's examine it for a second.
Yeah. So we're going to do the
we got to ask ourselves, because they put it on the front, is that true? How often have you seen a billboard that says number one lawyer in the world?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the time. That's capped though.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell you. So we got to ask ourselves, there are certain statements that they can put on the front of food, unfortunately, that doesn't have to necessarily be true. It can say all natural, but all natural doesn't have a real meaning to it.
Mm.
You understand? But what really tells you the truth is not that front label, but that side label right there.
Yeah, let's talk about it. So they got apple juice.
So it says,
listen to this episode, you probably understand having one source of income is too close to none. And as one of the wealthiest people in the world, Warren Buffett says, if you don't find a way to make money in your sleep, you will work until you die. With that being said, I am finally exposing the industry to this very unique, very secretive way to make money in real estate that no one is talking about. No, I'm not talking about wholesaling. No, I'm not talking about fix and flips. No, I'm not talking about rehabs, right? No, I'm not talking about flipping contracts. I'm talking about event spaces. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and show you for $300. I'm going to waive that $300 fee and give you access to my free masterclass where I'm going to show you how to find your own location. I'm going to show you how to fund your own location. I'm going to show you how to automate this entire process. The same process that I help hundreds and hundreds of people do, I'm now pulling back the curtains. I'm going to help you do the same thing. So what I want you to do right now, go to eventspacemasterclass.com right now. Go ahead and register. And as soon as you're done, go back to the episode. Once again, go to eventspacemasterclass.com. I will see you in our next class.
No added sugars.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now let's think about this for just a second.
Let me get another one so you can look at this simultaneously.
Yeah. Let's think about this for a second. If you were to have an apple and start and cut it up right now and come back 20 minutes later and look at that apple, what would you notice different about it?
It's brown.
It's brown. Mm-hmm. That's oxidation. That's aging, yeah. Right? Now, what I want you to understand about that is, it's just like everything. You start cutting me up, I'm going to oxidize too.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bleed out and die.
Yeah.
Okay? It's important to understand that nothing is built to last that is living.
Yeah.
All right. So as soon as you prick it off the tree, it is starting to die. All right. As soon as you start mixing it up like this, it is starting to die. Now, the only way you can keep it alive is to put things in it that preserve it.
Right. Now, especially this type of drink.
Yeah. So the good thing about preservatives is they preserve the product, but they don't preserve you. Okay. So if we were to look at this label, right? So the first ingredient is apple juice from concentrate. What people don't understand about concentrate is that when you concentrate something, it makes the sugar increase exponentially. And when you concentrate it, you concentrate it via heat. Okay? And when you do anything that's living, you put it in heat. I put you in heat. I put apples in heat. You've killed a lot of the nutrients in it. So the first ingredient, and usually the first ingredient, is the highest concentration. That means that's, in terms of like all of the ingredients in here, that's the highest concentration. That's the most of what is inside of this.
Yeah.
So most of what is inside of this is apple from concentrate.
Got
concentrate
it.
Is never good, all right?
Banana puree.
Yep.
That gotta be good. Puree, sound good, bro.
Okay, again, it's a process, how you puree something.
Yeah.
Most of these things are pureed when you look in here. And you'll also notice that natural flavor is in there. Natural flavor doesn't mean natural. Okay? In most cases, it means quite the opposite of it. So that's what I help people understand is a natural flavor may be in there to actually preserve this.
Yeah.
But they'll call it a natural flavor.
Got it.
So it's just really important to understand that there is no shortcut through health.
Yeah.
Now, you should be having your blender making this for yourself on a daily basis because, again, if I'm a company and I'm making these smoothies and I made it the way I would make it, this will last maybe 3 or 4 days in the refrigerator. Right or wrong?
100%.
Okay, so how does it last? What's the expiration date on this? The expiration date on this is May.
Yeah.
Two months from now. Come on, bro. So that's what I'm saying. You got to understand this is a company that put this together. If you're a company that put this together, you're operating based upon the fact that something can last on the shelf.
Got it. All right.
That's all. When it comes to food, there's a difference between food and food products. And this is just a food product, unfortunately.
Got it. So let me ask you some other questions. So, I mean, it's been a year. I haven't ate meat, fish, or seafood. What happened was it's a mixture of seeing your posts, T-Walk's posts. Like, it's just a whole bunch of things in. I don't know what's right and I don't know what's wrong.
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
Like, I don't have a clue, man. Like, I was on here with Tiffany. I don't know what's right with God and not right. Like, I don't know with religion. Like, it's just so many things I just don't know.
Right.
So I haven't ate meat, fish, or seafood in a year. I'm still eating the cheese eggs and the dairies. I'm trying to wean off of it, right? But it's been a year and I probably would have stopped eating meat sooner if I would have watched documentaries like What the Health. And I've always just not watched it because I know if I watch the process and all of that, I'm informed. So I purposely I still haven't watched it because then I might stop the cheese eggs. You know what I mean? So my question to you is, I hear a lot of people online saying meat is good. You have to eat meat. Like you're like, I hear people say you got to understand your blood type. If you this type of blood type, you got to have meat. And I don't know what's right and I don't know what's wrong. Like, I just stopped eating because listening to you guys. But it's like, oh, I took your cleanse. I took it for a month. Being honest, I didn't do the drink every day. The drink don't taste the best, but I was doing it. But when I got finished after the 30 days, I ate vegan for the 30 days.
Changed your taste buds.
Changed my taste buds. I went to have me a salmon cheesesteak, excited, and it just didn't taste the same.
Right. So I stopped. It'd been like a year or some change now.
Yeah. And it's a form of discipline for me.
Yeah.
Like, I love lamb chops. I love crabs. I love all of that stuff. Like, I was a bad eater.
Yeah.
And it tastes good. But I heard this guy say, Russell say, you don't eat for, when you're eating, you're not eating for, like, for it to be good, you're eating for fuel.
Yeah.
Food is fuel. It's not like,
yeah.
Well, I don't know.
What I always say is that, you know, like, let me first say this. I'm not here to convert anybody.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Like, have I ever came up to you like, yo?
No, 100, never.
Yeah. That's not who I am.
Yeah.
I'm just a messenger.
And I'm just having to, I'm asking these things for me.
Yeah, for sure. But I want to make that clear for the audience that they understand that I'm not an evangelist.
Yeah.
I don't walk up to people and police their food. Because sometimes I come in a room with Donnie and Dave and they like,
putting their food
police here.
Yeah.
I'm not policing anybody about their food.
Yeah.
I'm simply trying to guide my people into a direction of healing. That's
it. Yeah.
And so with that being said, going back to the taste buds, most people's taste buds, especially our people, are dysfunctional and immature. And so the things that they like are sweet, crunchy, salty, creamy.
Yeah.
We're in love with those things. And we will literally say we love whatever food that's attached to. But those foods don't love us back. They're actually toxic to our health. And what I mean by that is this, and I think this is a really important part of the conversation, is that if you look at the science, when it comes to minorities, black and brown people, 70% of black and brown people are lactose intolerant. Mm. They do not tolerate dairy in any form of it. That's 70% of us, okay? Wow. And so that's the science saying that dairy just doesn't work for us. The other thing that I think is important is that a lot of the issues around asthma, a lot of the issues around gut issues are attached to dairy. And a lot of the dairy that people are consuming, they're thinking it's coming from this healthy cow. It's not coming from a healthy cow. And it's coming from a cow that has been pumped full of hormones, bovine growth hormone that's been pumped full of antibiotics because a lot of the cows are sick. And so whenever you get that milk and it's coming from the teat of that animal, these animals are being pumped year round. They're being impregnated year round because a cow like a human can't produce milk unless they're pregnant. Mm. And so these dairy cows are constantly being pumped every day using machinery, and it's causing these teats of the animals to become inflamed, to become infected. And so that's getting in the milk as well too.
They should love me some milk. So it's not true that you don't get taller off of milk? That was a false marketing?
You'll notice that they...
I shot up like 6 inches in the summer, bro.
No. Listen, milk is baby cow growth formula. It's designed to take a 100-pound cow and to make it 1,000 pounds in about a year and a half. It's going to make you grow.
Right, okay.
But it's not meant to make you grow.
Right.
It's meant to make that cow grow. Mm. So the composition of what is in milk for a cow versus the milk in the breast of a woman is very different. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not only going to make you grow here, but it's going to make tumors grow in your body. It's going to make cysts grow in your body as well, too. And that's what we don't realize, even when you're consuming milk that doesn't have hormones in it.
Yeah.
It's designed for a cow versus our milk. If you take a human's milk and try to feed it to a cow, that cow would die. Mm. It's insufficient for its needs.
Yeah.
But if you switch the two, now you start drinking cow's milk and then you get a tumor, hell yeah, it's going to grow. Yeah. It should grow because it's designed. That's what cow's milk is designed to do, make you grow and expand.
Mm. So what's the thing about if you don't eat meat, you don't get the protein. Like you like an ox. Y'all big dude. Like it's like I'm like, well, I'll see some strong dudes. Like y'all taking protein? Like we like
man, so here's the thing. This is what people don't understand about the whole protein conversation, is that you don't need protein, you need amino acids. Amino acids are like bricks, and the protein is the brick house. Mm. And what your body does is it literally has to take amino acids and form the proteins. So whenever, say for instance, our liver, for instance, we can literally regenerate and grow our entire liver in a span of about 9 to 10 months, okay? But it can't do that if it doesn't have the right amino acids and the body is toxic, okay? Now, when the body is trying to regenerate new tissues that are damaged, it's important to know it's not using proteins to do that. Whenever you consume animal protein, it is a protein. It's not amino acids. So the body literally has to break down the protein into individual amino acids, glycine, methionine, et cetera.
And then it reassembles those into the protein that it actually needs. Mm. So even when you're consuming animal products, it has to break it down to the amino acids. The good thing about plants is that you're going to be primarily getting the amino acids. And we make the large majority of our amino acids in our body without any food.
Yeah.
And then we need essential amino acids that we then combine with those to make any protein that we need.
Got it.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. I told my wife I want to try raw vegan for a week.
Okay.
Because you're only raw vegan.
No, I would say I'm about 80% raw.
All right. So
70 to 80%.
So walk me through what can I eat? Because I was thinking, like, I was telling them, like, because they make me juices now, fresh juices. So normally that could be my first meal, juice for me. Okay. One of them Tassili's wraps. I probably could do two of them a week before I'm tired.
Okay.
I could just do a straight bowl of spinach with dressing on it. That's something I like, just straight raw spinach.
Okay.
So I probably could do that. But I'm running out of stuff. Like, yeah. What else? Who's some other things I could do?
I mean,
I know you do the quinoa stir. I don't like quinoa like that.
So, like, in terms of raw, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I want to do like a week of, but that's.
So that's salads, that's smoothies, that's green juices, that's wraps. And the wrap, instead of using the wrap that they would normally use at Tassili's, you can get like a nori wrap.
So I can't use a white wrap?
That's not raw. You also can use coconut wrap, which I like those better than those wraps anyway. So you could do that. You could do fruits. I do a lot of fruit. You know, I own a tropical fruit farm, so I'm doing a lot of soursop, a lot of sapodilla, a lot of guava.
Let me ask you this question. You mentioned 70 years things didn't exist. I've never heard of soursop till a year ago when you mentioned it. That's always, have all these fruits always been around, or are these new fruits being introduced to the
man,
world?
Man, you gotta understand that us as a people, we're disconnected from our culture.
From our culture?
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of like what happened when we transitioned here to the U.S.
Yeah.
We lost our culture. They beat it out of us. They made sure we did. A large part of our culture was our food. As a matter of fact, many of those who were enslaved when they came over on ships, they would take okra seeds and put them in their corn rolls and corn and put them in, that's why they call them corn rolls. So they would literally put food in their hair to bring it over here to plant. So we used to be that connected to our food. And if you go back to Ghana, if you go back to West Africa, if you go back to anywhere in the Caribbean, these are staple foods. These are foods that literally grow on the side of the road. Soursop is something that just grows on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Papaya just grows on the side of the road. These are things
literally on the side of, like,
I'm just saying,
in like, the ground, all right?
Most people have a mango tree, a breadfruit tree, a starfruit tree.
Mm.
All these trees in their yard in Caribbean countries. These are things that year round they're just picking off of the tree.
Wow.
So these are things that we have been disconnected from that we don't understand that is part of who we are in our culture.
How's a pomegranate? I love pomegranates. All right.
Yeah, pomegranate's real good for the gut.
All right.
It has a bacteria, a probiotic in it called acromantia.
Okay.
That most people don't have in their microbiome. And what they found through a lot of cancer studies is that the presence of this particular probiotic, it increases your risk or your rate of actually healing from cancer.
I want to do a game. I want to name a food. You tell me what it's good for or bad for. Like how you just said, pomegranate, good for this. Soursop.
Soursop is really anti-cancerous because it's high in fiber, but it's known for its anti-cancerous properties, both the fruit itself and also the leaves.
Mango.
Mangoes are really good for the gut. They're also good for the hair, skin, and nails as well, too.
Watermelon with seeds.
Watermelon with seeds, most importantly. Watermelon is really good because it hydrates the body. It's about 92% water. So that's why they call it watermelon.
Grapefruit.
One more thing with watermelon. In the white part of it, which is probably the healthiest part of it, you have what's called citrulline, an arginine. And that actually increases nitric oxide in the body. You know, nitric oxide is what opens up the blood vessels. That's really good for the fellas as well, too.
Okay, is that me? Okay. What else good for the fellas? Grapefruit.
Grapefruit. Grapefruit is an astringent, so it pulls things out of the body. I don't use a lot of grapefruit, but it's also semi-good for the liver as well, too.
What about, I'm eating oranges, clementines without seeds. No good?
Yeah, I don't eat anything without a seed.
If it don't got a seed, it ain't it.
Yeah, let me explain why.
Yeah, like, tell me.
You can't have a child without a seed.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, like, even when you get a watermelon and you see just those white seeds, that's not real seeds. Those seeds cannot reproduce. If you put them in the ground, they will never reproduce. Mm. And so everything.
Them black seeds, I could bury them and grow some watermelons?
Yeah. So, like, it's important to know that the circle of life, divine life, God put it in such a way that everything must come from a seed. Like, life is in the seed.
Wow.
Right. So when we skip around that seed, we're skipping around the process of divine nature.
Wow. All right. So we got, geez. All right. Bro, this is just.
Check your phone right now.
Okay. This is like eye opening. It's like, it's just so, you don't know what you don't know. It's like, right. But bro, how will someone ever notice?
Man,
I guess that's what one of your missions is, to educate people around the world. You got a farm in Miami. You just tell me about a healing. Tell me about a healing center. Is that going to be in Miami or Jamaica? Tell me a little bit about that.
So I just bought about 80 acres in Jamaica.
Congratulations.
And so the whole idea around that is to put a healing center there where people can come. We'll have a healing center where people can do yoga. They can get therapy for trauma. We'll have animals on the farm so we can reconnect in that way. We'll have opportunities for people to be able to help us grow the food so they can learn that process. We have two springs on the farm as well. One of them is a hot spring, a river running through as well, too. We have pods where people can stay in them, little tiny homes. You'll be able to get your food there, do my detox, which you've done as well, too. I just want to create a safe space for us to reconnect back with nature so that this kind of knowledge becomes commonplace, not just for people like me, but for all of us. Because at one point, all of our grandmothers knew everything that I know.
Yeah.
You know, I had my grandmother who died at 67, but her mother, my
That was young, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But her mother, my great-grandmother, lived to 105.
Wow.
She lives the way I was living. She was on a farm. Most of the food came from the farm. Most of the healing, the herbs came from the farm. Whenever we got sick, there was water coming out of the ground. There were outhouses, et cetera. So I think it's important that we get back to that lifestyle. Now, we can bring a little of the modern life with us, but if we want to live and be balanced mentally, spiritually, emotionally, like, we got to get back to nature.
Mm, that's good. Wow. So my mom was sick. I still don't know why she was sick. Like, she just got really bad. And there's a few people I called you, Darius Daniels, Marcus Rarosa. Y'all probably the only three I called. Like, yo, I need you to talk to my mom.
Yeah,
what did you tell her? If you remember,
I
don't even know what you told her. I'm like, did you ever talk? He's like, yeah. I'm like, yeah. So I appreciate that.
A lot of the conversation was remembering.
Mm.
You
said remember.
Remembering.
Okay, yeah.
A lot of this information, the reason why it's an aha or it's a mind blowing is because what it's doing is helping you remember what is already there.
Yeah.
And so a lot of what I was doing was helping her remember what was the basis of health from the beginning,
yeah,
and how we gotten so far from that. So we talked about that. We talked about reconnecting with ourselves and working on the parts of ourselves that are what I call the shadow parts, which are the traumas that we sweep under the rug.
Yeah.
We talked about how foods can be not only healing, but a mind state shift can also be healing as well, too, because we've been sort of programmed in a way where we don't believe we can heal ourselves.
Mm.
And so we talked a lot about that. She asked me about certain herbs. She asked me about certain foods, what to eat, what not to eat.
It was your top five favorite herbs.
Top five favorite herbs. I hate doing that. I'm going
to
do it.
Yeah. You don't have to if it.
No, I'm going to tell you why I hate doing it.
Yeah.
Because people take the same concept with drugs, a pill for every ill, and they apply that to herbs, and herbs don't work like that.
Yeah.
And so I just want to say that before.
Yeah.
I would say burdock root, dandelion root. I would say nettle, stinging nettle. Absolutely.
What's stinging nettle for?
Stinging nettle is, first of all, it is very good for nourishing the body because it's loaded with vitamins and minerals. But it's also good for the gut. It's also good for detoxifying the body as well, too. So it's just, I have an array of things. And that's what I like about herbs. They don't, it's not like a drug. A drug targets one thing.
Yeah.
Herbs can actually, they have a healing potential for many things.
Got it.
So you got stinging nettle. I would say guinea hen, which
is guinea hen for?
Guinea hen is really good for inflammation in the body, but it's also good for cancer as well, too.
Okay.
And then I would just, the last one.
What's the big thing with cancer? Like, you basically can't say it online. You can't.
Not to say it. Cancer. But
I'm saying, like, why is it this stigma, like, where it's like, you can't say you can reverse cancer. I hear people say, you help people get rid of cancer. I haven't heard you say it, but I'm sure you probably have. And I hear a lot of other people, yo, they got rid. Why is it such this thing where it's like,
because there's
not talk about
because this. There's a monopoly on healing people. It's just like the difference why you can patent a drug and you can't patent stinging nettle or burdock root. You can't patent nature. And so the war on medicine is that the only approved treatments are things that can be patented, which are patented drugs. Well, you can't patent herbs. And so if you can't patent something, you can't make real money off of it.
Yeah.
Cancer treatment can cost you $100,000. Medical debt is the number one cause of bankruptcy.
Wow.
The number one cause. Mm. And so with that being said, if you don't create a war on the thing that will actually address the cause versus the thing that addressing the symptoms, because most people, they do the treatment for cancer, but the unfortunate thing is there's always a reoccurrence. It comes back. And sometimes it comes back even worse. It starts to metastasize.
Oh.
And so it's important for us to know, like, there's a war on everything that is good. There's two sides. There's God's side, and then there's this man-made day side. And you got to figure out what side you're going to be on, you know, at the end of the day. So that's why the conversation is so taboo. And that's why so many people get thrown under the bus about it, is because I'm not in opposition of anything.
Yeah.
I'm for peace.
Yeah.
I'm pro this. I'm not against anything. So I'm not going to ever tell anybody what they should and shouldn't do.
Yeah.
What I'm going to tell everybody is about the message that I get from God from my perspective, and that is it.
Got it.
And then you got to do whatever you need to do for you that's best for you.
That's good.
Let me ask you, hear this thing about drinking urine.
Drinking what?
Urine.
Really? Okay, yeah.
I just saw you interview somebody.
yeah, for sure.
I think it's Dr. Sebi's son. I don't know. More. It may not be him, but I saw a guy online.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if that was him, but he was on somebody else's platform, and he said, drink urine. Like, what, tell me about what, is that true or false? But, and not to go against his narrative, I just want to know why I won't ever do it, even if you tell me to do that.
Like, yeah, for sure. Like, there's a lot of things in play and practice. And what we have to understand is that, and in many cases, people do these things when certain other things aren't available.
Yeah.
Okay. So like, let's say,
If I'm in the desert, it's no water and I won't eat.
So that's the example that I would give. It's like, you know, like my thing is that when you have 22 options available to address one thing and you don't have to drink your urine, I wouldn't drink my urine.
Yeah.
Got it. You understand? But, you know, there's a lot of things that are old practices. Like I said, like herbal medicine and natural healing is as old as 60,000 years old.
Wow.
So there's many things that have been in place for hundreds of thousands of years that we as people have passed down through oral tradition, and that we don't understand that when you do it and when you don't do it. And so, yes, are there people that drink their urine for a certain reason? Yeah.
Got
it. Would I do it? No.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. It's just like there's so many different ways to get to a destination almost.
Yeah. When we learn mathematics, probably one of the first problems that we learned was 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah.
But there's many ways to do that. There's 1 - 0. There's, you know, 5 - 4. Like, there's a lot of ways to get to that. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, like, I can even go outside of the box and say 1 + 1 = 3. Mm-hmm. Because when a man and a woman come together, 3, you get a trinity.
Right.
So I think it's important for us to open our minds to what are the possibilities in life.
That's good, bro. Hey, listen, this has been powerful. Tell the people about the detox. How often should you do one? I want you to close with two things. How often should you do a detox? I don't know if that's monthly or quarterly. And I heard you talk about some things you could do daily to optimize your life, your health.
Gotcha.
I think one of them, you talk about moving.
Yeah.
So if you could just how often should we detox?
Yeah.
And I want to say this because a lot of times I was telling Ash, I was telling him I don't know if it was him or my wife. I'm my stomach is big. But what I'm realizing that a lot of times people are trying to get a six pack, but your colon is just filled with so much stuff that you ain't even going to get the six pack till you actually clean out your colon.
Yeah.
So I used to do a cleanse. And when I do a detox, regular cleanse, a lot of stuff is stuck in here.
Yeah, sitting there rotting for a minute.
Yeah, how long is that? The colon is what? They say 20 feet, 30?
So the entire digestive tract is around about 30 to 35 feet.
How, though? This is small.
The colon is about 7 feet.
Okay.
How is spaghettied in there this? But if we were to take it out and lay it out, it's about 35 feet.
Yeah. So basically, as I'm eating, pizzas just keep getting stuck in there. It all don't come out. I'm 36 years of pieces getting stuck on those walls or whatever.
Yeah. If you're not properly digesting, and most people aren't. That's what happens.
I eat 3 times a day. I don't go to the bathroom 3 times a day.
Right.
So I just did that math. If I eat 3 times a day, go to the bathroom 1 time a day, I ate 1,000 times in the year, went to the bathroom 365. Yeah. Something's going on.
Problem. And most people don't know that because most people don't know it's normal. When you eat properly, you have a healthy digestive system, it's normal. Every time you eat, you go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Most go to the bathroom more now, bro, 2-3 times a day now.
That's how it's supposed to be.
And it's not hard anymore. How you got to sit on the toilet for 30 minutes? Not when you eat no meat. You sit down.
Hydration and fiber. Mm. That's what makes a bowel movement.
Got it.
So most people don't have enough hydration to dehydrate it. And most people don't have fiber because fiber only comes from plants.
Yeah.
And most of the plants that people are eating, 50% of plants that people are eating are potatoes, which have no fiber and is full of sugar. And then the rest is overcooked vegetables.
Got it.
Okay. And that kills the fiber. So that's why people aren't digesting properly. But one of the remedies to that is the detox, because we live in a very toxic world today. The water is toxic. Fluorine and chlorine and chloramine and mercury and microplastics. So the water is toxic. And even if you don't drink tap water, guess what? You bathe in it. Okay? And whatever you put on your skin, you absorb. The water is, the air is toxic.
What you got on your water?
I have a filter on the house.
On the house?
On the house. So all the water that comes in my house is filtered.
So I got to get a filter on the crib now.
I got the entire filter. And you can even have these systems where,
deep, man.
Yeah.
I got to get a filter I thought you just put it on the shower. I got to get the whole.
My dude, they use fluorine in Nazi Germany against the Jews, and they put it in our water. So the water is polluted. The air is polluted. The food is definitely polluted. Most of the food is genetically modified. It's loaded with food chemicals. So you're getting that type of stuff that, again, 70 years ago.
Can't do nothing, bro.
Computers, cell phones, televisions, wireless routers. We're getting EMF radiation every day.
You ain't fooling with a Tesla car.
Huh?
You ain't copping no Tesla.
I own a Tesla, but this is the point that I'm trying to make to you. I got to breathe the same air that you're breathing.
Yeah.
You know, I have to use a cell phone. I have to use a computer.
Right.
So being toxic-free is unavoidable.
Yeah.
And so it's important for us to know and understand that if we can't be toxin-free, then we got to detoxify our bodies, because otherwise all these detoxification organs are going to get saturated with toxins. And so the same way we do an oil change, we change the brakes, the tires, the spark plugs, the wires on our cars, we got to have a maintenance plan for our bodies. So that's why I do my full body detox every 3 to 4 months, the same way you would do an oil change.
Got it. Every 3 to 4 months. Got it. Amen.
Hey guys, if y'all looking at this, what I want y'all to do, stop right now and join me. I'm about to do the cleanse for 30 days. And what I want you to do right now, there's going to be a link in the description right now. Join me. Like, I want you to do this complete 30-day vegan cleanse with me, right? With Bobby, with myself, and a whole bunch of other people to hold you accountable. We're going to get healthy together.
Yep.
But Bobby, take us out, man. Let them know where they could connect with you, bro. Thank you for coming on the show. This has been double the length of all my shows. They're only 30 minutes, but it's been enlightening. However you say that word. There we go. That's what it's been. And I hope, man, I don't know much about Dr. Sabi, but all I do is hear people talk about him as this healer. Like, I hope that's you for this new generation, meaning I just hope you're that guy where that was that guy. Like, you become that face of this stuff.
I appreciate that, bro. I definitely want to be a part of that that lineage and that class of people who heal our people. So I appreciate you.
No problem, bro. Thank you for coming on. Let them know they could connect with you, bro.
You can connect with me by going to my website, drbobbyprice.com. You can also find me on YouTube, where I put a whole plethora of content on there, Dr. Bobby Price, or IG as Dr. Holistic, DrHolistic. And last closing words, just, you know, take care of yourself. You are the only you on this earth. That's what makes you special. But also what makes you special is the self-care that you invest in yourself on a daily basis. The highest version of you is the healed version of you. Invest in it.
Let's go. Listen to this episode, you probably understand having one source of income is too close to none. And as one of the wealthiest people in the world, Warren Buffett says, if you don't find a way to make money in your sleep, you will work until you die. With that being said, I am finally exposing the industry to this very unique, very secretive way to make money in real estate that no one is talking about. No, I'm not talking about wholesaling. No, I'm not talking about fix and flips. No, I'm not talking about rehabs, right? No, I'm not talking about flipping contracts. I'm talking about event spaces. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and show you for $300. I'm going to waive that $300 fee and give you access to my free masterclass, where I'm going to show you how to find your own location. I'm going to show you how to fund your own location. I'm going to show you how to automate this entire process. The same process that I help hundreds and hundreds of people do, I'm now pulling back the curtains. I'm going to help you do the same thing. So what I want you to do right now, go to eventspacemasterclass.com right now. Go ahead and register. And as soon as you're done, go back to the episode. Once again, go to eventspacemasterclass.com. I will see you in our next class.